Chapter 2, Old Friends.
What is it?
Asked JJ.
Valentine remained glued to the door.
Not what? Who?
He looked to JJ and Trudy. Each of them was standing with a perplexed look on their face in their compartment on the Harborville Express. The soft, rhythmic thunking of train travel filled in the silence.
It's Siobhan,
he said.
Siobhan?
Asked Trudy.
Siobhan,
JJ replied grimly.
Still don't know who Siobhan is,
said Trudy. Valentine took a deep gulp.
Remember back at the Grand Chateau how I had to pitch a book idea to Thad to keep him occupied? Boob Quest?
Didn't you secure an advance on that?
JJ asked.
I'm halfway through the first draft, but that's not important right now. You see, when I pitched the story, I sort of did that thing where you draw upon your own world and life experiences.
Did you write this Siobhan into your tit novel?
Asked Trudy. Valentine was visibly sweating at this point.
A woman who's chasing after our protagonists so that she can drag them back into a life of lying, cheating, and stealing? Yes. She doesn't have three boobs in real life, though.
So what's the big deal?
Asked Trudy.
This is just someone from your past you don't want to deal with.
I suppose I should jump in here,
JJ said in a grave tone.
I'm very aware that I talk a big game about my leadership abilities, my good looks, and my natural talent for solving mysteries, and while I like to think I can back up many of those claims, I'll readily admit that I'm still a work in progress. Siobhan, though? Siobhan is something else. She's got me beat in all categories. She's smarter, she's more charming, deadly with a knife at a distance, and, most importantly, she's more nefarious than I could ever be.
He hopped down from his standing position on the seat and began pacing with what little floor space he had. He seemed lost in thought. Pausing momentarily, he gazed out the window at the landscape gently parallaxing by. The fields surrounding Harborville were slowly transitioning into woodland.
Except for movie trivia,
he finally said.
I got her beat on that. She thinks they're too long.
What are?
Asked Trudy.
Movies. But listen, my point is that Siobhan could convince the devil himself that he should give up on the fiddle. She is evil incarnate, a malevolent harvester of sorrow. Don't fall for whatever she's slinging.
He looked over to Valentine, who by this point was drenched in sweat.
All right, Gumshoe, we might as well get it over with.
Valentine shook his head.
Even if I were to agree with you, which I don't, I need you to know that my knees have locked into place as a form of subconscious protest. I cannot be moved, so I'm gonna use my once daily veto to cut that order and suggest that we just pretend like we're not here.
You know I can hear you, right?
Came a voice from the other side of the door. Valentine crumpled with a fear-induced slump to the floor, knees in proper working order after all.
I don't wanna,
he whispered weakly. JJ sighed. He sat down on the floor with his brother and spoke in an encouraging tone.
Valentine, ordinarily I'd say that it's your God-given right as a human being to have a mental breakdown wherever and whenever you want. That's inalienable. But buddy, we're at the first inaugural Ghost Hunters Adventure Club Leadership Summit. We're here to tackle our problems. What I see right now is a challenge. A challenge that can be overcome.
I can still hear you,
came the voice again.
These compartment walls are pretty thin.
Valentine felt another wave of anxiety wash over him, but fought against it. He shot up to his original position with his back against the train compartment door.
Okay,
he said, appearing to psych himself up.
Okay. 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 Okay.
JJ stood up as well.
This is for your own good, buddy. By the end of the summit, you'll be amazed at how much you've grown.
Valentine nodded.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
JJ placed his hand on the entryway handle.
I changed my mind!
Valentine shrieked, batting JJ's hand away.
Sorry, pal.
JJ went for the door again.
You'll thank me later.
Valentine grabbed his brother's arm and the two fought for custody of the door handle. JJ managed to secure a pretty ironclad half-Nelson on his brother, who responded tactically by flailing around like a recently caught fish. It was a brief scuffle that ended with the door open and the two fighting on the floor of their compartment. JJ tapped out when they saw that there was a figure standing in the center of the now open door.
Hey, Siobhan,
he said, looking up from the floor.
Long time no see.
It was then that Trudy saw who the boys were talking about. Standing in the doorway was a woman about their age, maybe a little older. She was tiny, her face dotted with freckles around her nose. Her dark curly hair fell down to her shoulders. She wore a jean jacket over a floral print dress. That was not what Trudy had expected.
JJ, Valentine, I'm so glad you're here,
she said in her soft voice. The two scrambled to their feet. Siobhan crossed over to them as if she were gliding on air. She embraced a flabbergasted JJ, sighing deeply as she hugged him. She did the same for a shell-shocked Valentine. Taking a small step back, she held Valentine's face in her hands as if he were a prized work of art. A warm smile crossed her face.
Look at you, Valentine, as handsome as ever.
Valentine attempted a cordial smile. He did not succeed. JJ began to talk.
Hey, so,
And who's this?
Siobhan interrupted, looking over toward Trudy.
Trudy De La Rosa?
Trudy responded with an air of suspicion. Siobhan extended a delicate hand toward Trudy.
Siobhan Sweeney, pleased to meet you.
Trudy cautiously accepted her hand.
You know, I used to work with the boys back in the day. Is JJ as irascible as ever? What did you call me?
JJ demanded.
Irascible means to have a hot temper and be easily provoked into anger,
Trudy said.
Ah, it would seem that you're filling the role I used to play.
Siobhan smiled.
I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
So you're not mad at us?
Valentine blurted out. This was the most that he could manage to say. It came out at a high pitch and fast velocity, but at the very least, it was a complete sentence. Siobhan let out a light laugh.
Valentine, I had hoped you'd grown up a little more since I last saw you. But oh, darling.
She put a hand on his shoulder. He flinched.
Of course I'm not mad at you. Any anger or resentment has been long lost to the sands of time. What could I hold against you two for some of the most fun years of my life?
Were you in the mystery business as well?
Trudy asked.
Not quite, but close. It's a long story. I'd love to tell you all about it sometime. So what are you doing on this train, Siobhan?
JJ asked.
Isn't it such a coincidence?
Siobhan replied.
I'm out here on some new work, and someone mentioned that there was a mystery-solving team aboard the train. I had read about your success at the Grand Chateau, so I figured it must be you. It's so amazing to see you two again. And who's your friend?
Trudy asked, motioning to the end of their compartment. Leaning in the doorway was a man who nobody on the Ghost Hunters Adventure Club team had seen before. He was dressed smartly in a dark blazer, a turtleneck sweater, and tailored pants. His face, while stern, made no expression toward the positive or the negative.
This is my new business partner, Luther Adedeji.
Luther nodded toward everyone. There was a moment of silence while everyone waited for him to elaborate.
Not a very talkative fellow, is he?
Remarked JJ. I try not to speak unless I have something to say, Luther said.
He tries not to speak unless he has something to say,
Siobhan repeated.
That's strange,
said JJ, who couldn't imagine a fresher hell.
It's such a departure from the usual company I keep, but we work well together. Don't we, Luther?
Luther did not respond. He gave another respectful nod. Siobhan sighed contentedly.
Well, I'd hate to take up any more of your time. I'm just so glad to see you both. Like an old Dr. Cecil H.H. Mills paperback, you two haven't lost your charm.
Siobhan joined Luther in the doorway, then turned back to the team.
They'll be serving brunch in the dining car in a small while. I do hope you'll all join us. There's so much we have to catch up on, and I'd love to tell you more about what I'm working on next. Until next time, friends.
And with that, Siobhan left the three with an impressive final display of grace and poise. Luther followed closely behind. As soon as they were gone, Valentine rushed to the door and slammed it shut, throwing his entire body against it in a vain attempt to barricade the team safely within their compartment.
There is absolutely no way I'm going to willingly see that woman for the rest of my life, let alone for the remainder of this train trip.
I don't get it,
said Trudy.
She seemed perfectly nice.
That's what she wants you to think,
Valentine cried. He scrambled from the door to the train window, clawing at it.
Why is it so warm in here? Are you guys warm?
JJ thought the situation over for a second, which was usually all the time he needed to form a plan. He spoke as if a light bulb went off in his head.
This is a great thing.
Valentine paused his clawing at the window for a small moment.
What?
JJ popped up to make another speech, squeezing between Valentine and Trudy to make as much of a dramatic effect as possible.
Of all the times we could have run into Siobhan, we ran into her during the first inaugural Ghost Hunters Adventure Club Leadership Summit.
Every word that JJ said seemed to drive a stake further into Valentine's heart.
What better time to learn about leadership and teamwork than in a moment where we're placed outside of our comfort zone? These are optimal conditions for cementing our working relationships and becoming the best team we possibly can.
Valentine thought over what JJ was saying. He made sure to take the proper time to chew on the words and weigh the pros and cons of what his brother was trying to say. Then he looked over to JJ.
Absolutely not.
He went back to trying to open the window of the train compartment.
If I can get this thing open, I can hurl myself into this lush woodland area and be back in Harborville by lunch.
JJ and Trudy allowed Valentine to tire himself out. Eventually, he gave up.
This thing is sealed, isn't it?
He said.
Valentine,
said Trudy.
Take a couple deep breaths. You're hyperventilating.
Valentine sat back down in his seat. He buried his head in his hands, feeling a great sense of despair.
Of all the trains in all of Harborville, we had to get stuck on the one with Siobhan Sweeney.
Hey now,
said JJ.
We don't have to do this.
Valentine looked up.
Really?
Is something I would say if we weren't trying to help you become the absolute best version of yourself. Valentine, you can't be afraid of someone like this for the rest of your life. You're gonna have to grow up.
Valentine groaned.
I am convinced that that woman is going to kill me.
Look at it this way,
started JJ.
This is a short day trip to New Troutstead. We've got a packed schedule of seminars and team-building exercises that I've planned out for us even while we're on our way to the retreat. And once we leave the train, you're not going to have to deal with her again. You'll be so busy that you'll barely even notice her. Plus, you've got us here with you,
Trudy added.
You're not going through this alone.
Valentine took a few more deep breaths, his heart rate slowly returning to somewhere around the realm of normal.
Okay,
he said.
Okay, I see what you're saying. As long as we don't have to deal with her, and especially if we stay away from this brunch thing she wants us to come to, I think I can do it.
That's great,
JJ said enthusiastically.
So what's next on the schedule?
JJ opened his binder to the tabbed section labeled itinerary. He looked up at Trudy and Valentine.
Brunch,